everybody. Welcome back to A Place in the Conversation. My name is Dan Nyswanger. I'm the spiritual formation catalyst for A Place in the Conversation. And today we are making a place in the conversation to talk about housing affordability. And we have two guests with us. And as normal, my good friend and partner, Nick Everhart, is here. Nick, why don't you say hello and you know, what's been going on in your life these days, Nick?
Well, Dan, we don't want to get into that.
Okay. All right.
Lots going on. But I just wanted to say that I'm really happy to have these two gentlemen here to talk about this issue, which is important in our little borough here, Kennett, and also more widely in Chester County. Yeah. So I look forward to the conversation and learning more about this problem.
Yeah, good. Thank you. And our guest today is Luke Zuprod from Square Roots Collective, and Bert Rothenberg from Westminster Presbyterian Church. And they both serve on the Southern Chester County Council on Housing Affordability. And so, Luke, would you just take a moment and introduce yourself to the people who are listening?
Sure. Luke Zuprod, live in the borough of Kennett Square and work for Square Roots, as you mentioned, Dan. And Square Roots is trying to answer the question, what does it take for a community to thrive for everyone? We're a community that has that's very attractive to people. And so the cost of housing has escalated. That's not true just of the borough of Kennett, but Chester County more generally and lots of places around the United States. And so the question is, you know, we love having great places to live where there's a high quality of life, but oftentimes there are people who get left behind by that. So can we also not only be a great place to live, but also a place where a diversity of people can afford to live? So Square Roots is trying to answer those questions. I'm also on the Planning Commission in Kennett Borough, which is kind of in the ground game of thinking about how communities need to change to advance ideals such as this.
Great, thank you. And Bert, would you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Hi, yep. Bert Rothenberger. I've been a resident of this area for many years, probably going on to 30 or 35. Now live in one of the Kendall Crosslands communities. Been involved in housing for many years, served for about 12 years on the board of Habitat for Humanity of Chester County, currently on the governance board for the Chester County Partnership to End Homelessness. And about 7 years ago, my church, Westminster Presbyterian Church, did a strategic planning activity, and we came up with four strategies. We called them our God-sized dreams. And one of them was to end homelessness in Chester County and to promote housing affordability. And that's really what got me here today.
Great. Fantastic. Bert, would you take a few moments and share with us, you know, with all that experience and everything, how you understand housing affordability and what some of the issues that Southern Chester County is facing.
We hear a lot of terms like affordable housing, attainable housing, workforce housing, Section 8 housing. But the simplest definition really is housing is affordable to a household if they don't have to spend more than 30% of their income on housing costs. And that applies to everyone, whether you're working in the food service industry or whether you're a CEO. Housing affordability is basically you can afford to live where you want and where you work. And that's really our goal. One of the issues for Chester County, we're the wealthiest county in Pennsylvania, but 27% of our households are spending more than 30% of their income on housing. They're scrimping somewhere else. They're running up credit card debt. They're not getting their health care taken care of properly. They're eating hot dogs and beans. They're, you know, those are the kinds of issues. And here we are, the wealthiest county in Pennsylvania, with 27% of our households living in an unsustainable manner.
And so some of the work that you've been a part of, can you explain a little bit about that, what you've been doing?
Sure. One of the issues that we have here in Chester County, and it's not just us, it's really all across the country, we tend to be building luxury apartments and condos or mega mansions. We're not, and none of those are really affordable. The median income here in Chester County is $110,000. That means half the people are making more than that and half are making less. $110,000 annual income household, they can afford a $350,000 house. But in 2022, only 19% of the home sales in Chester County were under $350,000. That's a real supply problem. But it's not just home ownership, it's rents as well. In 2022, the median Chester County rent was $1,625 a month, $1,625 a month. And that's up 44% in just 8 years. But what's more important, and we see it here, particularly in the Kennett area, when we look at the traffic on Route 1, that is several hundred dollars a month more than the rent in Lancaster County, in Cecil County, Maryland, and in Delaware County. So if to meet that $1,625 a month and still be able to afford everything else that a family needs to survive, you'd have to make $72,000 a year. That's the problem.
Okay.
All right. It's hard to do that on $15 an hour.
Yeah, well, it's even hard to do it if you're a registered nurse. A registered nurse average salary is $89,000 a year, but the starting salary is $68,000. Remember the number I gave you before, 72? A dental hygienist makes $86,000. An elementary school teacher averages $73,000. An EMT averages $44,000. Do you want your EMT living in Lancaster? I don't think so.
Yeah, I zeroed in on the term that Bert used, a supply problem. And, you know, plain and simple, there are just not enough properties available at lower price points. And so it causes people to have to commute a long distance to be able to work in this area. For people who are meeting critical needs of the community, whether it's education or firefighters or any number of other professions, you know, it's very difficult to live in the community that you're serving. And, you know, as I've, among the things that I'm involved in are a group of local business leaders who, you know, tell me about the challenges they have in hiring a young workforce. You know, oftentimes their businesses are thriving, you know, they're in an economically vibrant area and they have the opportunity to grow. It's very difficult to hire people locally here because they can't afford to, they can get a job, but they can't afford to live in the place that they have a job. So these are some of the challenges, and addressing that supply chain, that supply problem is critical to, you know, rising up to that challenge.
You know, my wife and I experienced that when we moved to Kennett. We moved here in 2014, and I was serving as the pastor at First Baptist. And there was a large number of people at church who said, look, it's important for us that you live in the borough. And, you know, and I was very fairly compensated. You know, I was well compensated, and I was treated very fairly and everything. And at the same time, you know, we would like to have you live in the borough. And there was just no way. You know, we looked and hunted and it just, it did not work numerically, financially for us to be able to, you know, to make that happen. And we've ended up in a very beautiful place and I'm very happy for it and very close and all that. But that is a real
it's a very real thing. And I think for me, what really grabs me as we think about this idea of housing affordability is the issue of the very people that sustain our community, that make our community what it is. You know, the people that are taking care of our children in daycare, the people that are serving in our, you know, in our restaurants, and the people that are, you know, in all those service industries and everything, how in the EMTs, the school teachers, all of that. Well, we need them, and we need them here, and how do we create a system where they are able to live in and enjoy and take advantage of some of the things that, you know, we would not experience without their effort. And that's a really, in a lot of ways for me, that's a very moral question for us to wrestle with. You know,
it's also a very personal question. You know, I think about my 21-year-old daughter who's poised to get married this summer. You know, marrying a prospective history teacher, both of whom grew up in Kennett Square, and neither of whom will be able to afford to live here.
Yeah.
Now it turns out they have, you know, ambitions for other places in the short term, but eventually they may be inclined to move back when kids enter the picture. And the question is, where do they move?
Yeah.
And right now the answer is not Chester County. More likely, frankly, it's probably Lancaster County.
Yeah.
Because there's higher density housing options there where you can, yeah, maybe you have to walk a block to your house, but you can buy a house and raise a family. And so, you know, it's a personal issue as well. I think many of us who enjoy living in our communities and would love to live near our children may not have that opportunity at this point.
Yeah, it really is a personal issue on a whole bunch of different levels. If you're a young family and you're spending an hour each way commuting to your job, you don't have time to spend with your family. You don't have time to give back to your community. So it indirectly impacts all of us. It causes stress, and stress causes all sorts of issues that impact everyone. 40% of our workforce in Chester County is in retail, accommodation, education, healthcare, and the average salaries for all of those professions is $60,000 or less. So it is a huge, huge problem that affects either directly or indirectly all of us. I've had a number of people too, just like Luke said, who said, you know, my son, he grew up here. And I had one guy, he said, and he's just graduated with a degree in civil engineering, and he's working for an engineering firm here, but he has to live in Lancaster.
Huh. Yeah.
Or live with me, and neither of us want that.
Yes, there you go. That's it.
I've got a question, and I may know the answer to this, but you talk about supply. So right here in Kennett, in the borough, up the hill, there's the flats, number of units, this big construction project just down the street a block. It's not affordable, okay? It's built as luxury housing. How does that happen?
Yeah.
How do we stop that from happening?
It's a good question. And I guess I tend to think of it through the other lens of how do we add, you know, the market forces will invite buildings to be built that are in their nature luxury or something approaching it. That happens on its own. I think the question is, how do we create supply at lower price points? And so one of the areas where we've been talking about that in the borough is the addition of what's called an accessory dwelling unit, or an ADU. Some refer to them as granny flats. You can think of it as the apartment over the garage as an example. And right now, it's very difficult, practically speaking, to be able to build an ADU. For example, there are difficult restrictions in the details, like You can only build something that's basically one story tall and not two. If I build a unit, you know, over my garage, I have to deliver two off-street parking spots to be able to do it. So even though they may technically be permitted within the building code, practically, they're not buildable. And so the question is, will this community kind of relax those standards in order to allow these kinds of units to be built? These kinds of units tend to be below the median price in a community. Part of that's because the land is already paid for. Part of it is because they tend to be smaller. And so it's a way of adding supply into the market that doesn't drastically affect the community look and feel. It also doesn't, you know, it makes a difference, but not a huge difference, you know. And so over the course of a decade, one can imagine a policy like this adding 20 units to the borough. So it's not the sort of silver bullet that would fundamentally solve the problem. But the reality is there are no silver bullets that fundamentally solve the problem. And you need to do, you know, 10 different things over the course of time to kind of really build toward attainability.
We have a crisis here in Chester County, but out on the West Coast, the crisis is even worse. And there's one metropolitan area out there where they did just what Luke is talking about, relax some of their ADU requirements, and their building permits for ADUs tripled in a space of just a couple of years, and were many times more the building permits for ADUs than there were for single-family homes. So it, we don't have to reinvent things here. There are places that are doing the kinds of things that we need to be doing here as well. We just need to make it easier for a developer to do affordable housing and build some of the houses that we used to build 50 years ago. Duplexes, triplexes, duplexes around a courtyard. Small apartment buildings, say 4 to 6 units, apartments above retail, those kinds of things. But our zoning ordinances make it very difficult to do that. So if you're a developer and you're trying to make some money, you're going to take the easiest path, and that's the mega mansion and the luxury condo.
So Luke, how has Square Roots Collective, where do you guys, how have you guys been involved in this conversation, and I guess you specifically with the work that you're doing with the borough?
Sure. Yeah, I think we're still trying to discover what is our place in this conversation. I think broadly speaking, Square Roots tends to get involved in addressing issues of systemic importance, trying to understand what the root causes are and focus our attention there. oftentimes that doesn't involve the obvious things, you know. So, you know, we're so grateful for the nonprofits in our community that, you know, directly serve the homeless, for example, or provide food to people who are struggling. You know, these are kind of direct, immediate needs. Square Roots tends to play in a different space where we're trying to say, okay, what are the deeper causes? How can we contribute to address those? In terms of me personally, you know, my view that Square Roots is trying to make the world a better place is also aligned with my own thinking about how. And so as an individual on the Planning Commission, as a part of this community, you know, zoning, and as unsexy as that word is, I think is absolutely critical to addressing systemic issues that, you know, I think it's easy to look at sort of say the greedy developer and say, you're the problem, you're the reason that we're not getting where we need to go in this area. The reality is that the government systems and rules that make building very expensive really need to be addressed in order to, you know, address issues like this. So that's kind of the systemic reality under the surface.
Yeah, I really appreciate that because it is a whole of community approach to addressing, you know, working for the common good and uplifting the community. There are immediate needs that can't be ignored, and, you know, sitting there and saying, yeah, we're going to tweak this and tweak that. And maybe 10 years from now, it's going to get better. That's ignoring a whole group of people that they don't have 10 years. They have 10 months, maybe, you know. And so we're blessed as a community to have, you know, so many organizations that deal with the immediate. And at the same time, we're also blessed to have, you know, people like yourselves who are taking a higher level look at it and saying, look, if we don't do something systemically to address some of these changes, we're going to be doing the same thing 10 years from now that we're doing today. And that's just simply not sustainable. And so we need to take a whole big picture. And I think that's part, one of the things that for me makes Kennett and Southern Chester County so attractive is this idea that, you know, we come together and there's these partnerships that get woven together, you know, and we start to actually make meet immediate needs and then make changes that help uplift everybody. And to me, that's a beautiful thing. So.
So you mentioned a systemic, deeper issues, and you went to right to the zoning issue. I can't help but think there are others. Could you share your thinking on that?
Sure. Yeah, and I mean, in terms of square roots, you know, one of the areas we're involved in partnership and together with Kennett Trails Alliance is how do you create equitable access to nature? So we have beauty all around us. How do we give people the chance to enjoy it? And that's another issue that's you know, critical for those who have fewer resources. You know, many of us who live in houses and have backyards and can you know, enjoy beauty you know, in our own backyards, not everyone is in that situation. And so, you know, the backyard is the local park and it's the trail. So building trail infrastructure is another area where we're trying to kind of create systemic goodness for the community.
Right. It makes it a lot nicer to live in a small home if you have access to parks and trails.
Yep.
Yeah, I've seen that.
You know, it's easy to say, oh, woe is me. And there's a lot of gloom and doom about our housing crisis. But there's a lot of good stuff going on, too. We talked about partnerships. In addition to the Southern Chester County Council on Housing Affordability that Luke is on the council, and I'm also involved in it, there are two others. There's a Greater Westchester Council on Attainable Housing, and there's a Phoenixville Council as well that's been in operation for about 7 years. And these are all folks like Luke who are making things happen within their community, and coming together to influence others into and giving support to the local governments to make the kind of structural changes that are needed. So there are partnerships. We also need some out-of-the-box thinking, too. And speaking of partnerships, what if a group of companies got together and took out a master lease in an apartment building and then subsidized the rents for their own workforce? We have a big equine industry here in Southern Chester County, and of course the mushroom industry. What if they all got together and did something like that? And in other parts of the county, we've got vanguards, we've got big hospital systems. And another out of the box idea is, why don't we use some of our underutilized space? We don't want to give up any of our green space, but we do need to provide additional housing. Phoenixville just recently did that. Their maintenance department had a part of a large parking lot that they weren't using, and that's now a 60-unit affordable housing complex. And the land was free, and that's what makes it affordable. Don't hospitals and churches and other municipalities have colleges and universities have some space that is underutilized that could be turned over to a developer at no or a very small cost and be turned into housing that is affordable for the workforce that we want to keep here close by.
Yeah. One of the challenges with this discussion is that there are trade-offs. You know, it's very difficult for a community to, you don't sort of make progress in this area of housing affordability without giving something up. You know, some of the things that people end up needing to give up, and I alluded to some of them, you know, parking spots, for example. You might invite more density into your community in order to fit more houses in the same amount of land or more apartments. And generally that brings more vehicles with it and some traffic, some parking challenges. You know, so I think there tends to be, when you introduce these things into the community, people who value, you know, some things versus other things. So some people really value creating a welcoming community that maximizes the potential to house people who, you know, at lower price points, whereas other people place more value on, you know, the ability to park very close to their house or to not face as much traffic when driving their community. So those are the kinds of trade-offs that people need to navigate, that communities need to navigate as they try to implement policies that will ease these challenges.
Yeah, parking is a real issue, and particularly it's not an issue if you happen to live near a transportation hub and you can get public transportation. That is not the case for Southern Chester County, but in the borough of Westchester, they did a recent study. Their zoning, like Luke alluded to as well, requires two off-street parking spaces per dwelling unit. They did a survey of the downtown area of Westchester and how many parking spaces were really used for each household. It was about a half, Now, if we can get the transportation system to work better for us here in Southern Chester County, maybe we can move in that direction too, and parking doesn't become as big an issue as it might be today. Another comment that people frequently make is, well, if we have to build housing that's going to be affordable, isn't it going to look cheap? Well, here in Kennett Borough, we have a good example that it doesn't look cheap. Red Clay Manor. It is a subsidized senior living facility with income restrictions for seniors 62 and above, and it is absolutely gorgeous.
So tell me about your work with Habitat. How does an approach like that, how would that work on a larger scale?
Well, many of Habitat's projects are large scales. The one that they're now completing, which they've been, I guess, working on for about 10 years, is in Coatesville, where they took down the old 1940s and 50s project-type housing and built, I think it's about 100 units there. They're also working on I believe it's 50 or 60 townhome units in Westgrove here. So those are large projects. And again, they're going to be very affordable, in part because the mortgages are held by Habitat for Humanity and they don't charge any interest. And now that the interest rates are 7%, that is a really big deal.
So how is that funded?
It's funded by grants. It's funded by corporations using some of the tax credits that they can get by funding affordable housing.
So maybe we need more of that.
Yep. Again, we need more out-of-the-box thinking. We need more funding. We need more. Yeah. We need more available land. We need more favorable procedural regulations and zoning to allow us to do the kinds of things that we really need to do. Our population is growing, and we've got to find a place to put them. Gary Smith, who is the CEO of the Chester County Economic Development Council, he and his folks say they talk to prospective employers who want to move into the county or those that are already here and want to expand. And now one of the first questions they're getting is, can you find a home for my employees? And they do a lot of hemming and hawing about that because they don't have a good crisp answer yet. Yeah. But the Chester County Planning Commission, they're on top of this. They have their A-plus housing program. They're encouraging municipalities to take the steps that are needed and supporting them. But what we really need are advocates, you and me, John Q. Citizen, to really understand the problem, and embrace solutions that we know that we can do. And it we mentioned earlier in this conversation, it's a moral issue. It's just not fair that people who we depend upon as our part of our essential workforce can't live where they work. And it's a shame that even our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren who graduate from college and want to start a family, they can't stay near where they grew up.
Yeah.
It's just not right.
Yeah. So go ahead, Luke, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say it's interesting to survey the landscape of who and how people are dealing with this nationally, because you know, this is a local problem, but it's a problem. It's a local problem everywhere. Some places more than others, and we're starting to see, really, in states all around the country, blue states and red states, who are looking at this affordability problem and taking collective action. California was one of the early ones. They, you know, we could look at their housing problem as the original sin, so to speak. It was worse there first. And so they've made progress with some of these solutions like accessory dwelling units and other kind of zoning innovations to try to ease housing prices. Last summer, the state of Montana implemented similar kinds of relaxation of their zoning rules. And the state of Montana is a red state. It's a red governor, red legislature, both houses. And so you're starting to see this really. Housing affordability is not a partisan issue. It's really it's an issue that affects everyone. And we're starting to see states everywhere start to wrestle with and implement solutions. Pennsylvania has some early activity in this realm. Pennsylvania is an interesting state because the power to make decisions in these areas really rests with the municipalities. In some other states that aren't commonwealths, it rests more with the counties, for example. To the extent that some municipalities may place unreasonable restrictions on density, the state can play a role in limiting the ability to unreasonably restrict that density. So I think that's what some of the bills that are in front of the Pennsylvania state legislature are tinkering with.
So if somebody's listening to us right now, somebody's listening to the podcast and they're hearing stuff that is resonating with them and they want to add their voice to the conversation, we're going to have some links and everything for people to follow and everything. But what's going to be the easiest way for them to, where would you send them to learn more? And then how would they be in touch with you, or some whoever, to get involved?
A good place to start is with the Chester County Planning Commission, chescoplanning.org, and click on housing, and click on A+, and you'll see all sorts of examples of the kinds of housing that we really need to develop the affordability that is necessary. Nice pictures, nice examples, and that's a really good place to start. The other thing to do is sign up for your municipality's newsletter. Find out when your planning commission is meeting. Look at the agenda. The agendas are always all posted online. And if they're talking about housing affordability or maybe a change in zoning, consider attending the meeting. Consider finding out exactly what they're talking about. And you can get the background information on the kinds of zoning changes that we really need to make. Again, back on chescoplanning.org.
All right, great.
Echoing that, I mean, in Kennett Borough, our planning commission will be in front of the Kennett Borough Council most likely May 8th. Petitioning for accessory dwelling units to be embraced. And so, you know, really helpful in those situations for people to show up, particularly if you live in that municipality and emphasize that you think this is important. You know, there will be people there who are taking the other side of the argument. And I think it helps when borough council members know that this is something that their constituents care about.
Great. Well, I will issue a little bit of caution. Many years ago, when I was living in Westtown Township, I got involved by attending some planning commission meetings on a proposal that I really didn't like. And years later, I wound up being the chairman of the planning commission.
That is a very a very good wise warning for that you know, but there's nothing wrong with that, and we're grateful that you added your voice. But it is wise words sometimes when you see something that stirs something deep inside of you and you start to speak into it. People recognize that, and you do end up, your journey changes, and that's not all a bad thing. And you find a deeper calling sometimes in life, which is a good thing. But you may find your time filled a little bit differently than what you had planned. So, yeah, that's it. Well, guys, listen, I want to say thank you for taking the time to sit down with us here today and to just share a little bit about the issue of housing affordability in Southern Chester County and a little bit of your experience and your wisdom. So thank you both to Luke and to Bert and, you know, to Nick for joining us here today. And for those of you who are listening, you know, if there's something that you've heard today about this issue and you're feeling something stir inside of you that says, yeah, look, I need to learn more. Or, yeah, you know, I have some thoughts that you want to add to the conversation. Thoughts that are in support of moving in this direction, thoughts that, well, hey, listen, I really like the community I have, and I'm concerned that, if we move in this direction, I'm going to lose what I have. By all means, we need to bring all of that into a conversation where everybody gets to share the reality of their experience, and it's the ability to have those healthy dialogues, those healthy conversations, where we're going to learn from each other and we're going to grow. And as we do that, we're going to end up working for the common good. We're going to grow the Kennett into the absolutely best community that it can be for everybody. And so I just want to encourage you to find that, to follow that sense of urging and that leading and that calling. Until next time, when we come together, may you just be abundantly aware of the Spirit's call, the Spirit's voice in your life each and every day.